Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a show that keeps picking up steam each and every week. We're another early version here of Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, which is an early rise right now with the Dodgers and Padres from Seoul, South Korea in the background. My sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink, 16-hour days in Richmond, Virginia, back in Charlotte, honored way to New York at the end of April, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. We understand it. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Danielle Lathrice, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And the Philly is coming soon for us, too, as well.
I'm doing great, Mark. I'm so happy to be back from Richmond. I had a great time at GalaxyCon, and I want to thank everybody who came out to see us. I am really ready to go because there's so much to talk about, but everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Bertha the Fae. But let's jump into things, because while I was at GalaxyCon, there was so much that went down. We have the retirement of Aaron Donald, which amazing. I didn't think he was going to jump out this quick. We have Leighton Vander Esch from the Cowboys, who had to medically retire. And then, of course, the big news all weekend that anybody was talking about was Kenny Pickett got let go. He got traded. And then we have the big news. Russell Wilson obviously signed with the Steelers. And then Justin Fields was taken to the Steelers for nothing more than pretty much a song with a sixth-round draft pick. I mean, like, I really thought he would go for a little bit more. And at this point, I have to look at Ryan Poles again, and we've discussed this in Chicago, and say, what are you doing? I really feel like Chicago needs a timeout and just get their act together, because you went from asking such astronomical prices for him to, he's a six-round draft pick, go ahead. I don't know what happened. Like, they make your head hurt, and I really do believe Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning and just be like, I don't want to play there. Don't make me go there. Because I don't blame him. For as much as they've done with the offense, you know, picking up certain players and doing all this, DeAndre Swift, you know, this is all great. You can have as much as you want player-wise and talent. I don't trust the leadership to do anything with these guys. So if I was Caleb Williams or any of these top quarterbacks in the draft, I would really be questioning, do I want to go there? Because see the benefit, like the cost-benefit analysis, I'm not sure I see it there. So I really would be kind of going, how did Eli exactly get out of the Chargers situation? Like, I'd be wondering how to do this. I'm not sure I really see it. I don't know what you think about it, but it's really concerning with how all of this went down from we want first-round draft picks, 3 second rounds, you know, a fourth-round draft
right.
pick, all of this for Fields to sixth round is cool, go ahead, peace be with you. I'm questioning it all at this point.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, let's start out with the Steelers, first of all. They had three quarterbacks there. One was a local kid who fell out of favor, who didn't want to dress in Seattle during the regular season, then didn't suit up for the playoff. He kind of sealed his own fate. Now, you and I can agree to disagree, as we talked in the pre-chat about this, but this is a guy that kind of, you know, started reading his headlines. And, you know, I just can't figure it out why he didn't at least want to learn the system more. Or, you know, you're coming out of Pitt, you're getting drafted by your hometown team, Steelers, and then you start dictating. You know, it's kind of like a guy on a job, and he's doing a good job, and he starts to think to himself, well, shoot, I'm going to go in the next day and ask for a $10 more an hour raise. You just don't do that. You got to play your cards. Mm-hmm. Well, he fell out of favor. The other two guys, they were jokes. I mean, Russell Wilson coming in and has thrown more touchdowns than these two clowns, Rudolph and Trubisky, did in 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
You know, so when you look at Justin Fields coming over, I think it was a win-win situation because now the Steelers have figured out, like mm-hmm. you said, what the Packers have figured out. When I've been saying all along, to be successful in this league, you need to carry a clipboard for a year and learn the system. I don't give a darn if you're mm-hmm. injured or not, and the starter goes out, throw the backup in there, and let this other kid learn the system. And too many teams have not wanted to do that, including the Bears. And this is what ends up happening. And we've talked to a blue in the face on this, Danielle, that
yep.
teams have thrown a lot of money around at quarterbacks, and they want results right away. And if they throw them in there and there's interceptions more so than touchdowns, then we got to draft a quarterback. And the Bears have just been a Mickey Mouse operation for a long time. You know, yeah, that 1 year with Jim mm-hmm. McMahon there and all that, but – it just, you know, it's a downtrodden franchise when you look at it. It just, you know, they want this, they want that. The Carolina Panthers in your backyard want this, want that. They don't. Mm-hmm. They got bad people in upper management that don't know how to run an operation, and that's why you have what you have. And now they're going to draft a quarterback, and you know what? Caleb Williams is not going to go there. I think he's going to the Redskins because he doesn't want to be a part of that. So you're going to get another quarterback in there. And when you draft him, you're going to throw him in the mix, and he's not going to do nothing. Then you're going to draft another. I mean, it's just a never-ending, you know, regurgitated effect
cycle.
Here. Yeah. And
yeah,
that's
like
what you
said,
have with the Bears.
Like, I feel like the Bears should be in timeout from drafting quarterbacks because I do feel like until you get somebody in there that knows what they're doing, you're just messing these careers up. And it's something that Pete Carroll said when he left the Seahawks. It wasn't his choice, but he said you have non-football guys making football decisions. And he has a very good point. You know, if you don't know the game, you've never played the game, or you're not in the system, you don't understand the game. And he, you know, said a very good point, and that's what I feel like is going on in Chicago. You have just guys making decisions, and I don't know if they're relying too much on analytics, you know, in some respects, and it's AI, and that's what they're going – but sometimes you just have to go by what you're seeing, talking to the players and getting that gut feeling. There's a certain thing. Talent is one thing, but heart is something that I don't care what you put in to your analytics and all that. You cannot compute heart. You can't calculate it. There's a certain human factor you cannot put into numbers. And I've seen it before. And it's something that one of my old instructors used to say. He's like, you can give me somebody with all the talent in the world who can drop into full splits when they're completely cold and do all that.
Right.
He's like, but if they don't have heart, I don't want them. He's like, I will take someone with less talent but heart. He's like, because they're going to work. And like I said, that's something that you just cannot put into numbers. It's not a factor that for all the things in the combine and all these statistics, you just can't put it in. And I think that's something
well,
that
not only
has
that,
lost
you,
in all of it.
Exactly. You can take the city out of the kid, but you can't take the kid out of the city. And I think what you
yeah.
have here is you have people that surround themselves, and I don't want to use the word losers, but they surround themselves with, you know, not the most, you know, influential type of people. And, you know, it's one of those things. We've seen this in sports with John Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies and stuff. And, we you know, they just can't get out of that lifestyle. And what ends up happening, they fall back in it. And same thing with these guys that come into the league, you know. They have a good year at a Mickey Mouse college or whatever. Somebody drafts them and says, oh, yeah, this guy threw 60 touchdowns. We're going to, you know, turn the league around. And they find out they can't, and then they go on the scrap heap. Well, the same thing with the character of these guys, you know,
well,
until
was,
you figure
I mean,
it out.
Johnny Manziel had a Snickers commercial before he ever threw a ball.
Right.
You know, like he had endorsements before he ever played a game. You know,
well, let me tell you something. The one, right, but and sorry to interrupt mm-hmm. you, but the one guy that turned it around that kind of was thrown on the scrap heap And he kind of thought to himself, hey, listen, I've got more to offer than these teams are looking at. And that was Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, yeah. You know, fell out of favor in Cleveland. We saw that with the whole Odell Beckham excursion. And, you know, then he kind of, you know, fired down into Carolina in your neck of the woods. And we saw what happened there. He caught lightning in a bottle in Los Angeles with the Rams and then went to Tampa. And you saw he's had, you know, one good year that they rallied around and gave him another year and blew Winston out of there. So he's a guy that's, you know, saw the light at the end of the tunnel.
I think Mayfield's always been a talent. But, yeah, I think there's something that they're missing when it comes to these QBs. We've said this several times. They expect too much too soon. They don't give them proper training. And you know, that's part of it. The pressure eventually gets to some of them. So we'll see what happens with the new guys coming in. You know, Drake Mayer, you know, all these guys with Caleb Williams, I mean, Penix, everybody, Jaden Daniels, what's going to happen? Where are they going to go? The system that they go into, and are they taken care of, or are they just expected to be superstars right off the bat? And
I'll throw another guy at you, but he's in a different class because he's injured a lot. Is Garoppolo? Now, where is he going? Mm-hmm. He would fit a great system too if he was given the chance.
I think with Garoppolo, the thing is Garoppolo is a bit of a China doll. You know, he reminds me of, and his name just totally blanked, but he was from the St. Louis Rams, Matt. He was another one where, you know, there was great things expected of him as a QB, but it was another China doll situation. The ankle was always going. Something always hurt. It was back and forth. I think Garoppolo, you know, he was also under Brady, and we all know Brady is not – especially during the time he was under Brady. Brady is not a very welcoming, you know, QB to his backups. It's not like he was like, hey, guys, let me show you what's going on. That was never Brady.
Right.
Garoppolo has been vocal about it. Brissett has been vocal about it. During the time that they were both there, Brady was not like, let me show you the system, guys. Brady's competitive. He is a bit selfish in that sense. And he was always like, who's on my heels? I don't want anybody coming up behind, because he did it to Bledsoe. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He knew what was going on. He knew that any injury and you're gone. The next guy's coming up, they are right on your tail. So he was not a guy to show the ropes. There are other quarterbacks. Kurt Warner was one of them who was very much like, let me show you how this is done. There are some that are generous. There are some that are not. I don't think Garoppolo was ever shown the system when he was in his formative years. I think Garoppolo had potential, but I think it was kind of wasted in that sense.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, you're not going to get it from Brady. Yeah.
Yeah, you're never going to get it from Brady.
What happened is San Francisco is a weird team. Right. But when you look at the 49ers,
everybody was like, oh, look how Rodgers was with Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Rodgers was not looking at Zach Wilson like, oh, you could be on my tail. I think Rodgers was looking at Zach Wilson like, sure, I'll show you how to throw a ball. You know, like,
yeah,
okay, I'm worried about you.
Well,
he's in a different place in his career.
Exactly. But getting back to the 49ers, they're a Mickey Mouse operation as well. I mean, they're a little bit more successful than the Bears, and people might not, you know, say, you know, Mark Mancini doesn't know what he's talking about, but at the same time, the 49ers get ousted from Super Bowls, and they're ready to clean house and never take the blame on their head coach never takes the blame. So how different are the 49ers from the Bears?
Well, I think the difference with the 49ers is also the GM. You know, when you look at the Bears
right.
GM versus the 49ers GM, there's a huge difference in that. That's one of the major things that has kept the 49ers afloat. So I think that's a big difference in that. And I do think that's where it comes down to the 49ers and, you know, with the GM making decisions because he knows the game. You know, that's I think, where the Bears have not yet figured it out. You know, your GM
right.
your head coach have to be on the same plane. And that's another problem that we're seeing in the NFL. Is the GMs and the head coaches are not seeing it right now. Heck, I've seen it several, for the 2 years that I've been down in Charlotte, I've watched it play out right in my backyard. You know, that's that's been an issue.
Well, let's
so
let's,
I think
let's
that's
figure this out. Right, we've brought up a lot of situations. We've talked about the quarterbacks. We've talked about, and I like what the Steelers have done now, getting two premier quarterbacks in Pittsburgh now moving forward. So they solidified that. Rumors have it Najee Harris could be on the move. But, you know, who knows? I like him. The other thing is Henry in Baltimore, but Baltimore lost a lot of guys. Gus Edwards went to the Chargers. And talking about the Chargers, cutting Mike Williams and letting him go to be a target in New York, there's been some crazy stuff going around.
But I think that's Harbaugh wanting his – Harbaugh likes a certain system. He likes certain players, certain body types. Harbaugh is very much from the ground up guy, and it's worked. It's worked with him. It's worked at Michigan. It worked when he was with the 49ers. There's a very – Harbaugh has a little bit of a mad scientist in him. So I think with him, you kind of have to just sit back and watch how it plays out. But there's probably more to it than we're seeing, and he's somebody I would probably trust a little bit more. As for the Ravens, we called that last season. Before the trade deadline, we had said – Henry needs to go to the Ravens. And I believe if they had done that, we would have been talking about a very different Super Bowl. And I don't think Lamar would have had that pressure on him to make the mistakes he made playoff game against the Chiefs. He did not have the run game he needed. And he put everything on his back, and we saw the old Lamar Superman come out where he was like, I've got to save this whole team. It's all on me. And then the mistakes were there. He did not have the run game, which took out the RPO. There was just too much on him to where Henry, if Henry was there, it would have been a very different scheme. So I think this was a great move for them, but Odell was not re-signed. I don't know. We don't know what's going on with Zay Flowers, especially with charges against him and everything. I don't know where this is going to play out. What are they going to do in the receiver room now? Because before, that receiver room was packed. I don't know what it's going to look like in this upcoming season. Are they going to go for receivers? Are they not? What are they going to do? So I think there's some questions I still have with the Ravens on offense, specifically on what they're going to do. The other team that I'm totally baffled by are the Cowboys. You did nothing. You just let people go, you know, in for free, you know, for free agency. Just people just kept leaving. I mean, Tyron Smith is gone with the Jets now. There was just like one thing after another. So I don't know if they're going to make some crazy moves in the draft, but even then, they still haven't figured out their re-signings. CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, we don't know what's going on with Dak, and now he's got the blackmail thing going. I'm just looking at the Cowboys, and you know, I'm sure the Cowboys fans are already, you know, they've already got like the confetti out, and they're going to the Super Bowl, and it's only March. But I have no idea what's going on there at all. So there's a lot of questions.
Getting back to Garoppolo now, he just got signed by the Rams.
Yes, that's it. Yes, he went to the Rams, which...
So that's a good pickup for the Rams. I mean, he's going to get a two-game suspension here, but who cares? I mean, getting Garoppolo, you know, there is huge, I would think. Wouldn't you?
I don't know. I could it be? It could be good. It could be good development. But like I said, I look at Garoppolo and I think you might be a solid backup now, but I think the best of his years are behind him because he was not – he just didn't get what he needed. So it could be really good. I know Stafford's kind of sent out some – or his wife has sent out like these cryptic kind of retirement things now that Donald's gone. I don't know what's going on there. I think it's a good pickup, but I think it's a solid backup if he stays healthy.
Right.
That's the whole thing. If he stays healthy, yeah, you know what? It's good. I think the Niners signing Josh Dobbs as a backup, nicely done. I think that's good. I think Josh Dobbs is another one who got thrown under the bus by the Vikings. I think he comes in, he does some amazing things, and then he loses a game, and they're just like, you're on the bench. After like coming in, and I think he only had 4 days to learn the playbook, and he did what he did. And then they were just like, yeah, that's it. You lost the game. It was a bad game for you. Sit on the bench. I think he got done dirty by the Vikings. So I think him signing the Niners, nice.
He was always guy in Pittsburgh, I would imagine. You remember when he was in Pittsburgh?
He wasn't even on my radar till he hit the Cardinals. And then I was like, who is this kid? Like, he didn't even hit me until then. And then I was like, who the heck is he? Like, I never heard of him. And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, he did this. And I'm like, never knew him. And then I'm watching him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does nobody know about this kid? You know, he was another one that just kind of popped up. So I think he's another one that if he sits behind the right person. Now, do I think Brock Purdy's the right person? But, you know, if he's in the right system, who knows?
The guy I don't understand is Clowney's not picked up, or Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, that's what I don't understand
Odell's
right
asking
about
for a little
there.
Too much money. Odell wants like a multi-year deal. I love you to death. You know I have feelings for you, but baby doll,
right.
You ain't getting no multi-year deal, okay? Let's be honest. Be happy with a one-year deal at $12 million, okay? Let's just like take the glasses off for a second. Hollywood is blinding you a bit. You get in 1 year, $12 million tops, maybe an incentive here or there, and that's all you're getting. You're in the sunset. I'm sorry to say it, but that's what you're getting, honey bunch. So take what you can get and stop asking for some multi-3-year deal at, you know, $40 million. It's not happening. So take what you get and be happy. You're not the number one anymore. So, like, stop it. Just take
Here's
it down.
Here's another guy that's ready.
You know.
Headlines. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He made a name for himself with the Rams, and then all of a sudden he's trying to catapult that.
You know, I get you getting some Kardashian, but, like, really, down a notch, just, you know, sunglasses off, and let's, like, move it along. You got your ring. Well done. I'll give you a golf clap. I think you were phenomenal. You played injured. You showed a lot of heart. I don't think you were utilized with the Ravens properly. But you still did well. It's just the younger version of you and Zay Flowers was on the field at the same time. So just take what you can get, but stop asking for, you know, a 3-year deal. It's just not going to happen.
No.
Take the 1-year deal, make something happen with somebody else, and move this along, you know, and transfer into broadcasting, do something else. The other big story is, Kirk Cousins is in a little bit of trouble right now, and it looks like the Falcons are going to lose a first-round pick for tampering. And a lot of it comes down to what Cousins said in his intro press conference. So it looks like that's going to come down. They started an investigation if the Falcons tampered with Cousins.
You know what's funny with tampering? Tampering, you could do that even when the combine's going on, and all of a sudden now they're going after tampering charges on these guys. The Eagles were another one. Right when the you know, right when they get signed, here come the tampering charges. What is tampering? I mean, it there's a gray area with that so much that it's really, really bizarre when they stand there and try to find these teams. Roger Goodell.
The thing is like Cousins commented that he revealed that he directly spoke with the Falcons athletic trainer and director of player personnel, Ryan Pace. Like, he came out and just said it. And it's like, you're looking at him going, oh, dude, no. He came right out and said it. And, you know,
yeah.
He did it before the time, and you're just like, seriously? And he did it to a room full of reporters. It wasn't like he was like, so this is what I did, and he told a friend that it's hearsay. He did it outright to a room full of reporters, and you're looking at him going, oh, man. Like, it was just one of those, just don't say anything else. And then he tried to make it better. He made it worse. So, yeah, they're investigating it now, and you just look at Cousins and go, oh, man, a problem. Then the Eagles are in trouble. They believe, though, the Eagles – most people believe the Eagles tampered. Like, a lot of people are like, yeah, they did it. The thing is, the Eagles were a little more slick about it. So it looks like Roseman directly spoke to Barkley. And that was a big no-no. They did it before. And that's how, like, that's why the deal went down so quickly. But most likely, it was done on non-player phones. So if it's done on non-player phones, the NFL can't subpoena the records. They can't investigate the phone records. So they think they're all smart enough to not talk on those phones. They are going to look at their phone records and see. Now, if they were dumb enough to talk on phones, well, then, you know, you'd be caught, and that's what it is. You know, like, then you look at them and go, well, you kind of deserved that one. Like, we all know the rules. If that's the case, they're going to lose some picks. If it does come down to that, once again, like, duh, guys, I can't help you on that one. Like, really, bring issues that came down from free agency.
Right.
Hey, I know Giants fans are, like, crossing their fingers. But
oh, exactly.
I don't know if it's really going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. As we get into next week, we'll really get closer to this draft session and break it down and find out what the Bears are going to do, or they want to haul for the number one pick, or the Redskins going to move up. Should be an interesting one next week as the Skins keep loading up on that defense. And we'll be back to regular scheduled time next week as well, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, after we went two straight weeks of waking up with the Roosters in L.A., Hey, Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. You got a great show coming up this afternoon with Chelsea Rice.
We'll be back at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Pacific, for A Novel Beginning, An Author's Reality. We'll be discussing all that good stuff called No Honor in the publishing world, and we'll be kind of going through some things that have happened, but that's at 8 p.m. tonight. And then everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to next week and kind of as we get closer to the draft, listening to who may be, you know, jumping, who's going to screw everything up and jump ahead of everybody and make that move that nobody saw coming. I think it's going to be – I think the Raiders are going to be one of the ones to kind of do something like that. But we'll see. I don't know. I just have a feeling the Raiders could be one of the guys that make a jump and really mess it all up. But at this point, it's anybody's guess.
Well, not only that, we'll probably also get into that running back situation. That's been very extinct position of late. So where's the running back gone as we break that up, too?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you grow up with these big running backs and Derrick Henry's the last of the Mohicans, it seems like teams are getting away from that. They're going more of a passing or a slash quarterback style. And not go into the running game. When I always thought the running game will get you to the Super Bowl to compensate the passing game, but who knows?
You need a running back you need a run game to get the RPO, a more popular scheme. So I don't know, but I think today's running back has to be a running back / receiver. You just have to have it. Same thing, you know, the tight end has to block better. You know, I think all the positions in the offense have become more of a slash position. It's not just one thing anymore, to where, you know, your old running backs used to just, that's what they did. You know, they were just downhill power back runners. And now it's like the speed has become more of a factor. And then you have to have the hands for catching, to where it used to be just hold the ball, don't get it peanut punched. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting combo.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Well, as we wrap this up for Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch this archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. We'll talk to you again next week in our primetime position. Till then, have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in.